It's the Duffin Up Podcast. That's okay. We've already started, that so that's fine. What's going on, Duff Daddies and Duff Mamas? It's April 20th, and welcome to an all-new episode of the Duffin Up Podcast. We are off to a roaring start right now. My name is Brendan Monroe. As always, I am here sitting with the one, the only Michael Adams. Michael, how is your day going so far?
Day's good. Day's long. Good to be here. I got out on the golf course this past week, so I woke up early. I woke up early to get out there, which if I'm going to wake up early, there's only one thing I'm getting up early for, and that's golf. But yeah, I got out there in the green grass, the good weather, hitting that thing around. Felt good and excited to talk about it. Good weekend this past weekend with what unfolded. So let's get rolling, baby.
Oh, yes. We cannot wait to talk about that. And as always, we have the Irish Chooch himself, Timmy O'Reilly. Timmy, how are you doing tonight?
Brendan, you know, I'm good, but we never ask you how you're doing. You're always asking us, what the heck? So, Brendan, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing just peachy. Thank you very much for asking. Oh, man. What a way to start off this fantastic night. And as always, we start with the PGA itself, because we are PGA Tour fans. And we are going to start with the second best tournament that has happened in the last 2 weeks, but that doesn't matter. It's still okay. My favorite tournament on the calendar, mostly because I kind of sort of live down here, but we are starting off with the RBC Heritage coming to you from Harbortown Golf Links, Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. And what an event it was this week. We saw another 47-year-old man win a PGA tournament. It is the same 47-year-old man that won this PGA Tour tournament in November. Stuart Sink comes away with his third career victory at Harbortown Golf Links in the RBC Heritage, shooting a 19 under par, almost a course record. Not entirely there, but you know, Timmy, I don't know how you felt, but I just got all the nostalgia coming back into me, being able to watch Stuart Sink come down on 18, this time instead of another caddy with his son Reagan, and get that tartan jacket and be able to win the RBC Heritage again.
I when you said walking down the 18th with his son, I was fixated the whole time. I know you had a first person view of the entire tournament, which is huge, and what a view you'll be able to tell all the listeners,
all of our listeners, the Harbortown Golf Links tartan koozie. That's what we're looking at right now.
What a perspective we have, third person from us here watching on the television. And I feel like I'm 85 just saying television, but we're watching from the TV. You're down there getting the inside scoop out of all these places. But as I'm watching the whole time is the interactions between Stuart Sink and his son. I was listening. It was just like Jordan Spieth and Greller, even better than that, because he didn't even act like his son. There was the love you could tell that was there, but they were all game. It was game. They were basically just bouncing ideas off back and forth. They were looking for affirmation of, you know, which way they want to shoot the shot, the approach, where they want to land it. You know, is this the number? It was great to see. I was fascinated. I couldn't get enough. I hope he stays on the bag. Good for Stuart Sink.
Yeah. Honestly, it was one of the best, 4 days that they've probably had down there. Just with kind of utter domination. I know that Cameron Smith had a really great day on Thursday. I mean, when I was there, I got to see him chip in on 17, which was really cool. And me being kind of a Cam Smith guy, like I really enjoyed that part. But you know, going into it, 63-63 the first 2 days. Are you kidding me? Like, are you joking? It was insane. No one shoots that. You don't follow up a 63. Most of the guys follow up a 63. They come in and they shoot like a 71 or maybe a 69 or something like that. And, you know, they do either as a par 71 there, they would be either, you know, probably two under the next day or something like that. And they're like, okay, like I got a good lead. 63 followed up by a 63. That's when I knew that this tournament was going to be legit and that Stewart Cink was going to run away with it, which he did. I mean, it was kind of like the Masters a little bit, where I think at one point, like maybe on the back nine, like there was a little bit of like, oh, Stewart Cink might, you know, someone might catch him. Like, I think he was down to like 18 under, and I think it was Grillo was up to 16, and everyone was like, oh, okay, we kind of got a tournament. And then, you know, fell back. Stewart Cink got a birdie on 15, and it just went from there. So great event. Really happy for Stewart Cink. Really happy for Reagan, kind of getting this awesome experience on the bag with his dad. And like you said, like being able to hear them go back and forth, and like Stewart Cink listening to him. Like, I feel like if my son was on the bag, I would just feel like, all right, kid, like, you know, pipe down over there. But like, not only was Reagan kind of giving his father advice, he was kind of telling him like, you should hit this.
Yeah.
Like you said, like the Greller, like it was a very Greller-esque type of like, no, I don't like that. Like, you shouldn't hit that. And Cink even said the one time he did hit a shot was on the 10th hole. I think it was on the third day, where he didn't listen to Reagan, and he pulled his shot into the water, like pulled his drive into the water. So it's really funny to hear them go back and forth, and it's really refreshing to be able to hear that. And, you know, Stewart Cink not, say like, all right, son, like calm down, like really take his advice, and really both of them understanding the game so well.
Oh my God. You're absolutely correct. It was a caddy player relationship, and it was great to see. And you're right. He had absolute feedback for everything. His input was actually used and considered by Stewart Cink, a pro golfer, by his son, who you would expect to just have the relationship like, oh, this is great, we're on the bag together, like father son. I mean, don't get me wrong, the father son thing is great in and of itself, but then to actually have that relationship where you're actually playing together as a team, awesome to see. And there was a stat on the TV, back to your 63-63, Brendan, there was a stat on the TV that since the 1980s, it was the number was, I believe it was 482 people have opened a professional golfing tournament with a round of 63. It's 482, I believe, like I said. The number of people who have followed that 63 with another 63, 7. Since 1980.
Jesus Christ.
Since 1980, and that's not 63, 63 or better. So 63 mm-hmm. or better. 482 have done it in the opening round. To follow that up with another 63, only 7 people have done it. To follow it up with another 63, one person has done it. Obviously not Stewart Cink, but close.
That was Dustin Johnson, actually. Wasn't that Dustin Johnson at the Northern Trust last year? Didn't he go absolutely insane?
Yeah, he went, what, he finished with 30 under or something like that for the yeah, week?
I think he went like 63, 60, 62, like something insane.
Yeah,
like,
he almost had a 59, he went, right?
Yeah, he almost had a 59. Scottie Scheffler shot the 59, which was crazy.
Yeah.
So Scheffler almost had a 58, which was even nuts. But yeah, I know, Michael, you've been having a little technical difficulties down there coming in and out, but we would love to get your perspective on this.
Welcome back, Mikey.
Fellas, how can you hear me? I've been battling over here. I'm on my phone now.
Oh, uh-oh. Well, for the people though who watch the YouTube, this is going to be like a sight, because this is recording everything. So this is going to be wonderful for them. Oh, man. But Michael, let's get your perspective on this.
Yeah. I caught most of that, and I honestly, unfortunately, didn't watch as much as I wish I had. I had a busy weekend, but I did catch some play on Sunday, and it was really cool, obviously, watching them two walk down the final hole there. And you're right, the guys were saying on the broadcast how Reagan pulled like every shot. Like, he literally got him around the golf course, and Stewart just listens to his son, who's, I wonder how good of a golfer Reagan is. He's got to be a pretty good golfer.
Didn't he play college golf? I think he played college golf. I'm not sure, though.
But he was just such a happy-go-lucky kid, like just raking in the moment. And obviously, he's going to be making some nice side cash with that win. I mean, his daddy's got to pay him a little bit of money, and I'm sure it is very hard-earned. And man, that was a cool little sight to see there with his, I guess, son flying in last minute, changing a flight to get, come watch him. Stewart's like, I'm obviously not going to lose with my son flying in and rerouting his trips to come see me play. So just, I don't know. Stewart kind of looks that tight shirt. He looks confident. He's shoulders back. He's upright. He's old, but he's swinging the golf club well, obviously. And this isn't like a one-off. Like, he's been playing well lately.
Very well. Very well. He was tied 12 at the Masters. He did miss like three straight cuts, but I mean, like, that's not surprising for a 47-year-old.
Like, he won with Reagan a couple months ago, right?
Yep. He won the Safeway Open with him too.
Did you guys say that?
Yeah, we did. Don't worry about it. I believe Reagan played golf at Georgia Tech. I know he graduated from Georgia Tech, but I'm not entirely sure. But it was so funny that they were like, yeah, like, he was about to take a job at Delta. And then the pandemic hit and his dad was like, well, why don't you just come caddy for me? I was like, this is amazing. But, you know, with that, we definitely give major props to Reagan Singh, because like, it's unbelievable what he and his dad have done in a matter of, you know, 6 months, 8 months, being able to wins, you know, or 6 months. Yeah, 6 months. Be getting two wins on tour, getting a top 15 at the Masters. Like, that kid's getting paid pretty well. And then also like being able to build his resume too. So, you know, if Stewart ever decides to, you know, give up the game or, you know, go on Champions Tour and doesn't want, you know, Reagan to caddy for him anymore and wants Reagan to stay on the PGA Tour, like, Reagan can now go and be like, hey, I caddied for my dad, you know, caddy for my dad. But also, like, we won two PGA Tour events. We have a top 15 at the Masters together. Like, he can build his resume with that as well. So it's great for him to see that. Stewart Cink becomes the fourth player in history to win two tour tournament events over the age of 47 or older. The other three are Sam Snead, legend of the game, you know, won every single tournament 7,000 times. Julius Burros and Kenny Perry. So pretty big names that he joins that with. And it is really cool to see like how he's been doing this, you know, won the Safeway Open, which is not like a major event, but at the same time, still a very decent event right after tour championship. A lot of guys still got to play in it. You also look that he has moved up in the FedEx, like, he's third in the FedEx Cup standings right now after this win. He's only behind DJ and Bryson and Justin Thomas right now. So seeing that and moving up, this is an incredible stat. At the beginning of the year, he started 300th in the official world golf rankings. Guess where he is at now? Just take a guess.
He was 300th how long ago?
At the beginning of the year. So before he won the Safeway Open, he was 300th. He
So this is the beginning of this year. Ooh.
Yep. Beginning of the 2020-2021 PGA Tour season.
Top 10. Eighth.
No. Tyrrell 40. Hatton is eighth.
40.
Very close. He's 44th.
44th. So
he moved up 254 spots in a matter of 6 months. That's nuts. That's insane what he's been able to do. And that's also like missing a couple cuts here and there, but getting two wins, getting a huge event at the Masters, getting fourth at the Bermuda Championship. Like, he's been on a roll. It's crazy to watch.
That's pretty cool that you can win two. If you win two events, and even if you just win those two events and you miss every other cut, you're still going to fare well in those FedEx Cup rankings, which is interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, he's had other really good events this year, too. Like I said, he finished fourth in the Bermuda Championship. You know, not like a huge event, but at the same time, still really good for him. He's made over $3 million this year just this year. So, yeah, I think he's up into the money. So total money earned $41 million right now. So he's pretty high up the career money list right now, total money list. So that's great for him. Overall, it was amazing to watch, I think. And now it comes into play too, like, with Steve Stricker having this new Ryder Cup experience where it's no longer just the top 10 US players and then he gets two picks. 2 years ago, well, now 3 years ago, it was top 8 players and he gets 4 picks, and that was controversial. This year, it's the top 6 US players in the OWGR and 6 captain's picks. So we're starting to get, the Ryder Cup. They do Ryder Cup standings and everything like that. So we're starting to get into, like, he moved up to the 24th overall in the Ryder Cup standings now. He's got 2 wins this year. He's got a couple top 10s. He's got a lot. He's got a couple top 20s as well. Like, he is playing pretty well for him. Or not even just for him. Like, he's having a good year. Like, you look at it, Honda Classic tied for 19th. Couple missed cuts in a row. Throw it out. You know, Sony Open in Hawaii tied for 19th. Century Tournament Champions T31, T4th at the Bermuda, and 1 at the Safeway Open in the RBC Heritage. And tied for 12th at the Sanderson Farms. So, like, he's pretty much going top 20 or cut right now, which is, like, good. But, like, you know, you kind of want to stop doing all the cuts. But at the same time, you know, having all of that in play, like, I think 7 top 25s this year is pretty amazing. 3 top 10s and 2 wins, like, I just don't know what else to say. Like, this is not something that a 47-year-old man on the PGA Tour does. Like, they usually just kind of get there, hope to make the cut, hope to collect the payment, and then as soon as they turn 50, get right on the Champions Tour and start crushing it again, you know? So, super interesting to see. Really happy that he's been able to do that. And I do think, like, with this Ryder Cup stuff, like, his name is starting to come up again.
So, in his case, because he is 47 years old and a lot of potential picks for the Ryder Cup team, it seems to come down as who's hot at the end of the year, because it's fresh in the captain's mind. It's, oh, this person's doing well in the Tour Championship or in the FedEx Cup playoffs. And he's in a unique spot where he is 47. So, obviously there's a concern with his body breaking down. Can he hold this, this streak for a long time? You know, as far as stamina wise, so if he can continue and play decent up for the rest of the year up until the Ryder Cup, he has a good shot. But that's the true test, is can his body and his mind and all this last at performing at such a high level for a long time? So it's a good point. You got me excited when you said the Ryder Cup consideration. I like that, Brent.
Give me Stewart in the Ryder. I mean,
knowledge, Mikey.
Just knowledge. He's got all that it takes, and he's on a roll right now. So you're telling me he can't be paired with someone in the Ryder Cup and them two just feed off one another and have Reagan over there just sending great vibes all throughout. I mean, let's get back to Reagan a little bit. I love that point about building his resume, and man, I mean, what a circumstance, what a way to just make a great opportunity even better. And it helps when your dad just stripes the ball straight and makes putts. And that's just awesome, man. Caddying's got to be one of the most grinding of jobs and careers, but it's so satisfying. I feel like these guys are out there just shaping shots and imagining how balls bounce and roll and just making shit easy on guys who are out there just playing golf.
No, you agree. To have a strong mental golf game to be a caddy, and God, there's got to be. Is there any like more respected figure in other sports than a caddy, as far as like importance to a team? You know, like a catcher to baseball, or a you know, I don't know, a point guard to a basketball team. You know, there's all important factor. You know, how well are these players going to play without their caddies? And I don't know, just an interesting question, but
yeah. And obviously Stewart's found something with his son, and it's so important to just know how to just coincide with someone else's personality and get the most out of them. But also you're never really trying to bring someone or make someone feel worse in golf as a caddy. You're always trying to make it more uplifting, or, but the hardest part is like telling someone that they're being crazy, that they shouldn't be pulling that club or hitting that far. Or, I don't know, like unbelievable just to go out there and walk golf courses and carry someone's bag. I think I'm going to sign up. Get me to my, get me to my local course and sign me up. That sounds like a blast.
There's definitely a difference between a PGA Tour caddy and a local caddy too, unfortunately.
Hook on with the youths of America, and just, you got to get lucky, right? At someone's coattails. Who's the youngest prodigy around? Let me carry your bag around. I'll make things so easy for you.
Charlie Woods is looking for someone. His caddy's out for a bit.
That's fucking hilarious.
All right. Jesus Christ, where that went south super quick. I would say Ricky Fowler's looking for a caddy, but he doesn't play any weeks anyways, and he doesn't care.
Yeah, about where's he? Points, so where is?
We'll Fowler? Talk about it later. We'll talk about it when I grind some gears, because I did get mad about a couple things. But kind of just moving down a little bit from this board, unbelievable players and kind of, you know, names that are there a lot, but names that we don't always see at the top of the leaderboard, played amazing this week. Harold Varner III, huge fan of his. I love Harold Varner III. Minus him wearing Jordans on the course. Like, I don't totally understand the Jordans for a golf shoe. I feel like they'd be uncomfortable, but at the same time, who knows?
Pat Perez says they're very comfortable, if you've ever heard Pat Perez.
That is true. He's also...
Bubba just got signed by Jordan.
Did he really?
I believe so.
Wow. That's good.
Yeah, he
okay,
did.
Maybe I was wrong. I might be wrong about Jordans on the golf course, okay? So I'll retract my statement. I will take away my take. But Harold Varner III playing really, really well. And Emiliano Grillo, both tied for second at 15 under par. Fun fact, they played together actually on Thursday and Friday. So they were in a group together along with Zhang Ho Zhang, or I forget his name, unfortunately. He ended up missing the cut by a billion. But they were able to play together on Thursday and Friday. I followed them around for a little bit, got a couple of videos of them. So it was really cool. And both seeing them kind of at the top of the leaderboard was really cool to see at the end of the week. HB3,
yeah, Brendan.
Yeah.
What was what was the most riveting shot or situation, or like give us how'd you manage to get around that golf course?
Yes, this is what I came to hear.
We were gonna get there. We had to get through Corey Connors, Matthew Fitzpatrick, and Maverick McNealy first, Michael, and round out the top five like we always do. Oh,
if you ain't first, you're last.
Oh, that's not true. Matthew Fitzpatrick is like me and used to come to Hilton Head as a kid. He has the nice little Harbor Town lighthouse as his driver cover. So it's really cool. Like, great story about Matthew Fitzpatrick, obviously. But duffers on the course. We did have a duffer following around some groups. One of the duff daddies himself, me. I was able to attend Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. Unbelievable experience. Thursday, my dad and I actually got this for an Easter present for him. I got him like the little elevated ticket. So there was like just the ground passes. And then there was a sponsor village, which you could watch the 17th hole and the 18th tee off. So like they had like this, like seats there and everything. They had the grandstands there, which you could only get in if you had a special ticket. So me and him got those tickets, or I got him those tickets and we were able to go. It was a great experience. On Thursday, we were able to watch like a lot of really good guys come through. Again, we got to see Cameron Smith chip in at 17, which was awesome. Got to see Stuart Sink come through, and then a lot of other, I mean, it was a great experience. And being able to go from like the 17th green over to the 18th tee, watch those guys tee off. It was really cool. Being able to see Sungjae Im up close and personal for the first time, and being able to see his insane slow swing. Like,
how
insane.
Slow was it?
It's
slow-mo in lifetime.
It's literally like if you took a regular guy's tee shot in slow motion on the backswing, and then his downswing is like a regular swing, but it is literally just like so slow on the back. So being able to see all those guys on Thursday, and then what I did on Saturday and Sunday was I got there early in the morning. I would walk like the front nine with a group. My dad would join me and we'll walk with them on the back nine. And then we would just go in between holes 10 and 16, which are right next to each other. And both of the fairways are right next to each other. So you got to see like the approach shots in on both those holes. And it was super cool to sit right there and be able to watch the approach shots for both. So that's why I got a ton of videos of everyone's approach shots going into either 10 or 16 and how we got a couple funny videos from that. But Saturday morning, I was able to follow around Brant Snedeker, former champ, 2011 champ at the RBC Heritage. And sneakily, probably my favorite, like one of my favorite golfing stories and like a big fan of his. And I might, I won't say I'm his only big fan, but like.
No, how's Brant's flow? How's his flow doing?
It's gone. I mean, it's not there anymore. He shaved it. Yeah. Yeah. It's not there anymore. But I was able to follow around him and then, and Sky Harrington, who I'm a huge fan of just because of his awesome story, like 16 years on the rook, on the mini tours and on the Korn Ferry tour, gets up to the PGA, gets his PGA tour card, COVID hits, like 2020 is not as not how his rookie season was supposed to go. And he's back on the tour on 2021 and doing great. So it was really cool to be able to follow him around a little bit. And both of them ended up playing pretty well. Both of them shot three under that day. So they got into like later groups on, because my goal was to like follow them around again on Sunday morning. But then Sunday morning, I actually followed around Scott Piercy. And Tyrrell Hatton was early Sunday morning.
Oh.
And I was the only person following them, really. So I didn't really get to talk to them that much. But, I mean, you don't get to talk to any of those guys while they're playing. But, you know, following around the number eight, you know, OWGR golfer right now, like being able to follow a top 10 golfer just early in the morning, like it was either his manager or like his buddy was there. And, you know, when he would come like a little bit closer to the ropes, like they would be talking about like soccer scores. So I was just like, wait, what? Like, what is going on? And his reactions, like, I know people say like Ian Poulter's reactions are hilarious. Nothing beats a Tyrrell Hatton reaction. Like, he is hilarious on the course when something doesn't go right. Like, he was on the fourth hole and he putted a shot and he was right off the green. So he putted it. And there was like a mark and he hit the mark. And so like, it kind of like went, you know, the way it wasn't supposed to go. Like, someone didn't fix their ball mark. And he just goes, fucking hell, someone didn't, you know, I can't do a British accent, but he was like, fucking hell, someone didn't fix their ball mark. And I was just sitting there and I was like, and he said pitch mark. So it was even funnier. So I'm just sitting there. I'm like, what is going on right now? And he's just like swearing up a storm. And so like following that on Sunday, it was really cool following him around and he had a really good day. Like, he shot five under. So he got up from like minus one to minus six. He actually ended up finishing not top 20, but he finished like much, much better than I thought he was going to finish. He ended up finishing tied for 39th. We started out like, you know, tied for 60th on the day. But being able to follow him around was cool.
That sounds like a perfect Sunday morning if like you're getting out before the leaders tee off and you're following a top 10 golfer and nobody's around. So and he's a hothead. So you get to hear everything that he's saying. That must have been electric. Like, that was perfect. I can totally see him just tweaking and bugging.
Oh yeah. He did like his, like on 18th, he missed a birdie putt. And so he tapped in for par and he walked off. And there's got to be a couple videos of this out. But like when he like, I don't know if he does it all the time, but he was just like, just looks up to the sky and goes like, ah, and just does like a big like lion's roar, basically. And I've seen videos of him doing that before. So I was just so mad that I didn't get that video. So that like, that was sad. But at the same time, there are a couple other times like Brant Snedeker chipped in on seven, chipped in from the bunker in for birdie. And it was like 50 yards away I didn't get the video. So then I started recording every single Brandt Senator chip after that. And I got one where he almost hit one in too. So it was so cool. But being able to follow that group around Saturday was great. Cause I really like, I mean, obviously like they're not going to talk to me cause like I'm a 29-year-old dude, but like, Tyrrell Hatton like gave a couple like golf balls away to like little kids. Scott Piercy did the same, which we'll get into Scott Piercy in a second because he's a really cool laid back guy. But it was cool to watch him, but he did not have a good round, so it was like a little different. While Tyrrell Hatton was having a good round, but you know, being able to follow those guys was cool.
Willie Zalatoris tall?
No, he's so small.
Is he tiny?
You know who's super small? Abraham Answer is the smallest human being I've ever seen in my entire life.
I can see that.
He, oh my God, he crushes his drives. But yeah, dude, he's listed at 5'8". He's no taller than 5'6". Like, he's no taller than 5'6". He is, him and Shane Lowry were playing together on one day, and you could not have two different body types. If
Shane tried. Would eat him.
Literally eat him. So that was, I mean, it was awesome. I really enjoyed following around Tyrrell Hatton just because, like, he's a really good player and he played very well. I really liked following around Brandt and Scott because they were kind of, they weren't like totally out of it, but they were a little out of it. And so, like, they had a good time together, but, like, I kind of wanted to be like, Scott Harrington, like, I'm your kind of like number one fan besides like your wife and kids. But he would have been like, get away from me. It would have been like, get away, loser. Like, I don't care. But it was really cool. So I tweeted at him. I tweeted at Harold Varner. And we got some back from Harold Varner, which was cool. But being able to follow those guys around was great. And I also, you know, seeing the leaders come through, like there were packs of people. There were different packs. So like DJ had a huge following. Ian Poulter and Charles Howell III had a big following in the morning. Lee Westwood was playing by himself, so he ended up finishing in like 2.5 hours. His son was on the bag too, which is why he was not in contention because his fiance was not on the bag. We're going back to this. His fiance better be on the bag for like the US Open and the British Open, or else I'm gonna be pissed because he's in contention.
I'm starting to buy it.
I
didn't want to be on that train, but I picked him for the Masters and he was horrible.
Chugga, 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 choo, choo. All aboard the Paula, or I don't even know if it's Paula, but all aboard the Lee Westwood's fiance as his caddy train. Just saying. Anyways, continuing. With those groups, like Will Zalatoris had a pretty decent group following him just because, you know, he's been really, really good on the PGA Tour so far this year. But and a couple local guys too. Like there was a kid, Bryson Nimmer, who qualified for the tournament down here, and he's from Okady, which is like 40 minutes up the road in South Carolina. So he qualified for the tournament. He had a big following on Thursday and Friday. He ended up shooting +9 on Thursday. I think he just got nervous, but then he shot -4 on Friday. Obviously missed the cut, but really cool to see him. Really cool to see like everyone cheering for him. So that was fun. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, I got to see people I like. I got to see, you know, Ian Poulter and Rory Sabatini, who I do not like. Got to see Matt Kuchar, who Hoochie Coochie is not my favorite, but still got to see him. And, you know, got to see, you know, follow around two groups on Saturday and Sunday too. So overall, it was just super fun being there. Super great having a smaller crowd just because you really got to, like, see the action too. Like, you know, DJ was like 6 feet away from me when he hit that shot. Like Kevin Streelman was 7 feet away from me when he was in the rough and got to hit the ball. Like it was so cool being so close to them.
And you gotta, sorry, Tim, but you just gotta quick. You gotta point out how beautiful that place is. Like,
oh like my God,
just
Harbortown. Harbortown Golf Links is a top three. I think it's a top three course.
The sand and the ocean and the sunshine and the lighthouse that just gets you so excited for what's to come.
Told you when we had our golf poll last week, the 18th at Harbortown is my favorite hole, and I would have it in my backyard for that exact reason.
I think it's because it has the widest fairway in all of the PGA Tour.
We're not going to talk about that part. But so, it does. It has the widest fairway, but it's not like a continuous fairway. Like it is very blocked off. Like you have to hit the fairway, and like you have to hit it in the landing spot, or you're screwed.
True. So, Brendan, absolutely love that first person just dialogue of everything that you saw. Thank you for sharing that. That was good. I couldn't get enough. I didn't want to say a thing. I just wanted to listen. So you guys know I'm a golf course guy, so I'm doing research. Mike, you were saying beautiful golf course, the trees and everything like that. Brendan, you know firsthand that it is a beautiful golf course. So of course I have to, every time I see a golf course, I got to research it. And they say that Harbortown has some of the smallest greens in the entire PGA Tour. And you've seen it. So Brendan, you've seen it. Then just to put it into perspective as to how small these greens are, the total square footage of greens at Harbortown is 3,700 feet. The average square footage of greens on the PGA Tour is 6,000. Isn't that incredible?
And why Bryson won't show up.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't hit greens. Oh yeah, he does kind of. He doesn't hit fairways. But and then so Brendan, just another two golf course questions. Did you, the 15th hole, did you see the pin placement on Saturday? I believe it's that where it's right on that front peninsula thing surrounded by that bunkers.
Yeah, it's virtually impossible. Like who got birdie that day is good.
I couldn't believe that. It's absolutely possible. And then that bunker is so deep, you get no relief if you're right up against that wall. Awesome little setup. I mean, you got to put the pin there, you know, just to have some fun. Tell me you're not having more fun if you're placing those holes early in the morning. But anyway, the ninth hole, loved watching the ninth hole, that where you drive, it's like 330-ish yards.
Yeah, so they moved up the tees on Sunday, actually, and made it 312. And people went, like, it's so hard to go for it, though, because the green is so elevated. And there's bunkers in front. Yeah, so it's you have to, I mean, I followed around, so Harrington hit driver. He keeps his ball super low, by the way, which is cool, which is really cool to see. Snedeker hit driver, but Sneds can't hit it that. Sneds doesn't hit. Sneds a plotter. So this course actually works for him very well. Both Tyrrell Hatton and Scott Piercy hit irons off the tee. And a lot of people hit iron off the tee to try and get into a good low landing spot.
It's very cool. And that horseshoe shape. So like they were saying that it's the only tee box that you have to really worry about which side of the fairway you're going to be on, because it's like a horseshoe shaped green. I mean, you know better than I do. So correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. And then if the pin's on the left side, you got to be on the right side of the fairway so you can get it, because there's trees, tons of trees in front of the greens, which is wild.
Yeah.
On all the holes, you know?
Yeah, the craziest part about it too is that it's called Harbortown Golf Links, and there's only two holes on the water. Like there's only 17 and 18 are the only holes on the water. So I always laugh about that, but it is like, which is why I pick Kevin Kisner every year, my daily fantasy, because I think he's going to do well there. Every year he disappoints me. Anyways, it is a plotter's course. Like this is a course where you can't, and it's why DJ does not, you know, even though he's a hometown guy, like he's never won the tournament, and he kind of struggles. His best finish is tied for 16th. Like he's never had a top 10. And it is a plotter's course. Webb Simpson last year played very well. You know, this year Stuart Sink, while he did have really good drives, more of a plotter. Harold Varner III, probably not as much as a plotter, but I would say guys like Maverick McNealy, Matthew Fitzpatrick, like those are guys who work their way around the golf course a lot more than like the grip it and rip it, Tony Finau, Bryson, DJ, John Rahm last year, like when he was there, he said he was like, this, you know, he swore, he's like, this fucking course, man, hated the layout. So it was hilarious here to that part. But, you know,
Maverick McNealy. Hell of a name.
His dad is the CEO of Sun Microsystems, so he had a little bit of a leg up to start in his golfing career.
Nice.
Daniel Berger making a top 15. Daniel Berger. Good to
not
see
a
him.
Hell of a name.
Burgermeister Meisterberger doing doing great.
I'm unhappy to see Willie Z not showing up every weekend.
Yeah. I mean, he was doing really great to start, but yeah, he fell down. It was going to happen though. Like a lot of these guys like fell off a little bit on Saturday or Sunday, and Zalatoris just fell off on Sunday instead of Saturday. Big Bob McIntyre, the Scottish lefty who I've been starting to follow around a little bit more. He shot +7. He shot +7 on Sunday and went from -6 to +1. Like he had a terrible day. So there are guys like that who just, you know, have bad days. It happens.
Yeah, you probably see the leader way down there. I mean, Willie though, he's fighting for this. So I mean, he's making cash if he plays like he's making money, right?
Yeah, he's a pro. Yeah. He can definitely make money.
Yeah, he just can't play in the FedEx Cup this year unless he wins a tournament. So his card is already like he already has his 2021-2022 card, but he needs to win a tournament this year in order to be in the FedEx Cup playoffs.
So he's pretty set. I mean,
yeah, he's going to be back on tour next year. He finished top two at he finished tied for second at the Masters. So he gets an invite back to the Masters next year and the year after. He gets invites to all of the other, you know, him finishing and tied for sixth in the U.S. Open already got him into all these other major tournaments. Like, yes, he's good, Michael. Don't worry. He's good. Yeah. And if they didn't have him invited to the tournament before the Masters, they definitely got him invited now. So he'll be there.
Oh, good.
Yep.
Need to see him atop the leaderboards. Yeah.
No, I agree. I'm excited for him. Speaking of, you know, polar opposites of Will Zalatoris, young and up and coming, following around Scott Piercy was really cool because I never really watched his game. And he's listed at 6 foot, like 185 on PGAtour.com. He is ripped. Like, built like a Mac, like he is not 185. He is at least 220, 225, built like a Mack truck. And he hits it very far. But he has this little Hideki Matsuyama style swing where he pauses hard at the top. And I've never noticed it. I don't know if it's a new thing, but it was really cool to watch.
I wonder why they do that. And I'm not going to try to break down anyone's golf swing, but do you think it kind of takes away the importance of the backswing?
Thing with Sungjae Im going so slow on the upswing. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's just a taste and preference thing.
You know what I mean by like the take back? Like some people have to take it back, like so on the inside to do that. When you get up to the top, it's almost like a reset. Then you don't, the take back doesn't even matter.
Yeah, I guess.
Just a theory. I don't know.
I have no idea why they do it. I've also seen like
George Jankus. You got George showing people just stick it over your head and turn and come through. I mean, it's pretty much I think I'm such a mental midget myself. In the backswing, I'm all over the place sometimes. It's like, how do you get this club set properly at the top? So sometimes if you just start at the top and go down, I don't know. It's mind boggling sometimes.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just think like I would be in the point where if I had a pause, like during that pause, my brain would just be like, don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. And then I'd mess it up. So like, I don't know how they do it, but it was super cool being able to watch that. And it was wicked, wicked cool being able to just like watch a guy that I probably wouldn't, you know, he's 42. He's a little bit older. He still gets to all these events, but like they're not putting Scott Piercy on the air at like this point in time. He's a super nice guy. Him and Tyrrell Hatton were talking the entire time. Like, it was great. And just like, you know, being able to watch him like up close and personal was really fun for me to watch. But I know we have taken very long time on the RBC Heritage. We do need to talk about our daily fantasy picks that happened at the RBC Heritage. Did anyone win money?
Zero, zilch.
There must have been some pretty good lineups out there. I mean, did a lot of people have Stewart Cink? Like, if you just didn't have Stewart Cink, you didn't win any money? Because that's what it felt like. If you had Stewart, you still might have lost money.
Well, the thing with Stewart Cink is he was only $6,900. So, like, we all messed up by not taking him and then being able to take, like, Morikawa, too. You know what I mean? Mm. But
I said Lucas Glover over Stewart Cink. For what reason, Mike? I mean, because Stewart's been playing way better golf.
Lucas Glover is from South Carolina. That's probably it. Like, honestly, like, I thought about that. I took Kevin Kisner. I had Chris Kirk in my lineup who finished tied for seventh, and I would have won money, and I took him out to put in Kevin Kisner because Kevin Kisner's from South Carolina. And I felt like a dumb ass.
Damn.
Yeah. I think the next week. On to the next week.
On to the next week. But we do have to talk about an unbelievable event on the LPGA Tour, and it's in the Lotte Championship, because we have talked about who's back, who's back, who's back, who's back. You know who's back on the LPGA Tour? Lydia Ko is back on the LPGA Tour, winning the Lotte Championship by 7 strokes. This week, 7. That's right.
Jeez.
It is insane. She had not won for 1,084 days on the LPGA Tour. So she had not won since 2017. It was her first win since she was 19. So yeah, think about that. She's not
even a quarter century old.
No, she's 23 years old right now. And she's won 16 times on the LPGA Tour.
That's crazy.
Wow.
I just, like, I was watching a little bit of it, to be honest with you, and it was just unbelievable. And at one point, it was like, you know, watching Hideki Matsuyama or Stewart Cink this week, too. It was just like, okay, like, this tournament's going on. It's being dominated by a single person. Like, I'm so happy for her because, like, she is a huge name on the LPGA Tour. Like, her being good is massive for the LPGA Tour. But I was just like, okay, this is utter domination. Like, I'll watch it for a bit because I want to see what Lydia Ko is going to do. And after what she did at the ANA Inspiration, coming back out of nowhere and pushing Patty T, I will not even try her last name because it's, I don't want to be disrespectful. So we're not even going to try her last name. But Patty T winning the ANA Inspiration by 3 strokes, I believe, over Lydia Ko. And Lydia Ko went 10 under on the last day. Like, it's unbelievable to see that she's kind of getting back to where she was prior to her injuries. And it's really cool to see.
Wow. I mean, I don't know. 7 strokes and you haven't won in how many? 1,084
days? 1,084
days.
So she's following the Matsuyama, who hadn't won in 1,344 days. And Spieth had over 1,000 days in between his win at the 2017 Open and at Valero too. So that was it. I mean, it's just like the year of streaks being broken. So we got to find the next, Stewart Cink. When was the time I should have had this ready in the show notes? I'm sorry, guys. This is on me. When was the time that Stewart Cink won before he won at the Safeway? You know what
that's
I mean?
A great, yeah. That could be another streak. Who hasn't won? What? Ricky, is Ricky coming? We got to ruin his streak. Come on, Ricky. This is your year. We just need.
We got to make sure Ricky makes a cut at a major championship again.
I don't know.
That's the streak going right now. Stewart Cink had not won in 11 years prior to his win at the Safeway Open. So this is the year of streaks ending. So you know what? Ricky's streak is going to end. We're going to get Ricky a major.
Yo, Asia and golf, like, just coming on strong as of late. That's quite a fun story. And she's New Zealand.
She's born in South Korea, but grew up in New Zealand. Yeah.
She's born in South Korea, grew up in New Zealand, started golf when she was 5 when her mother, I was just doing some quick research on Wiki. Mother brought her into a golf pro shop when she was 5. Like, if you're winning that many tournaments at such a young age, she's obviously got a golf club in her hand right from the start, which is the way to do it. Cause I was late to the game and you shouldn't be late to this game because it's hard enough, but no.
Much harder when you're late.
Much harder when you're late and never taught.
No, I agree.
That's the fun of it though, too.
I agree. I just think that this is really good for the LPGA. Like, they need their stars. They need Lydia Ko. They need Nelly Korda. They need Lexi Thompson. They need MB Park. They need like all of these big names to continue. Or Sophia Popov like has become a household name ever since she won the women's British Open last year. Because she's played well in the ANA Inspiration. She's played well in all of these other events. Like, being able to have these household names is really going to help the LPGA continue to grow. And I'm all for it. Like, I'm super excited for Lydia Ko, and I'm super excited to see the LPGA continue to grow and continue to have household names be more and more involved in golf too.
Top three women's golfers in the world rankings are all Korean. They're all Korean.
No, South Korea has a huge women's That's golf in South Korea is huge. Yep.
I was just looking up because I remember Indy Park. I haven't really heard her. I mean, I don't follow women's golf to a T, but Indy Park is a name that you heard quite a few years ago. She's second in the world, but I thought she was going to like just dominate and roll, and haven't heard her winning. Maybe I'm just out of the loop, but that's great. That's a crazy stat.
Yeah, no. If the women had a president, I think they do have a president version of the President's Cup. So instead of like they have the Solheim Cup, which is the women's Ryder Cup, I think they have a version of the women's President's Cup. And I'm pretty sure the U.S. gets like destroyed. Like,
I'm sure they do.
Because you go up against the South Korean team, you go up against the girls from South Korea. China has a good women's golf group. And then you also get Lydia Ko, New Zealand, the Australians, South African women. Like, it gets nuts how good the international team is in the Women's President's Cup side. So, you know, like we said earlier, really happy for Lydia Ko. It's great for her. We did want to mention that. We did want to shout her out because we love the game of golf. The game of golf is for everyone. And so being able to at least touch on the LPGA tour, we try and do it as much as we can, especially when a household name and especially when a dominating performance happens too. So really happy for her for that.
Lydia, if for some reason you hear this podcast or see this podcast, please come on. We'd love to have you and hear your new. Do you think she has a New Zealand accent?
Yeah, she does.
Yeah?
Yeah, she does. Yep, she does.
I would love to hear her talk about New Zealand. Oh, my God.
Me too. Oh, my God. Yeah, what would we ask her? More questions about golf or more questions about New Zealand?
She should get Stevie on the bag.
That's a good plan.
I know, because I think him and Adam Scott are done, right? I don't think he's on Adam Scott's bag anymore. I think there's a new person on Adam Scott's bag. Maybe Steve. I mean, Steve Williams won so much money under Tiger. I'm sure he's just like, he's probably just like, I'm good. Like, I'm straight, guys. I don't need this anymore. I don't blame him. But thank you for Lydia Ko. We'll now move it back on over. Talk a little bit more PGA Tour. Sure. Because we get to talk about a very, very, very cool event coming up this week with the Zurich Classic. One of the only events that is not straight stroke play. This is a team event. Team event. So in rounds one and round three, it's best ball. So it's a four ball and you take your best score. But rounds two and round four, alternate shot.
Give me some of that.
You got to really trust your partner.
That's the worst, man. Alternate
it's hard.
Shot. It's
hard.
The worst.
That's my favorite thing about the Ryder Cup when I watch it. I love watching the alternate shot. Because you really need two guys that know their games and like know the game well and know each other's games like really well, because you need to set up the other person to succeed.
Yeah, if you don't know golf, like, I mean, I know we probably don't even know the ins and outs of it very in-depthly, but if you don't know the game of golf, like, because you never play alternate shot, because you're not going to do that. You're not going to pay $50 to go play 18 and play ultimate shot with your buddy. So like, if you don't watch the Ryder Cup every year and some of these little tournaments, it's just such a different dynamic. And you just, you have that, like you said, Brendan, that I cannot screw this up mindset. Like I need to advance this ball, and it's team, it's pressure, it's me, us versus you guys. And whoever goes first, sometimes it's better to go second because you can just put on some nice little pressure, but man, that's going to be fun to watch.
And also it's not like the Ryder Cup where like Steve Stricker, shout out Steve Stricker, just won the Champions Tour event this week. So shout out to him. But it's not like the Ryder Cup where Steve Stricker gets to go and be like, all right, Jordan, Justin, I'm going to play you guys together since you guys are really close. You play a lot, like everything like that. It's like, this is not like randomly given, but it's not like, it's like basically they give the top 40 guys in the world their picks. So like you get to pick your partner, but you can't pick someone else in like the top 40 or something like that. Like it gets really weird, all the different, you know what I mean? Like all the different levels to it and everything. So it gets strange that you get to pick your partner, but you can't pick a partner that's like in a specific area. And it's just strange. Like I love the event. I think it's really cool. It's a great course, TPC Louisiana, just like Hilton Head. There's going to be a lot of alligators out there. So get ready for the gators. Billy Horschel's going to have a grand old time talking about alligators again. So that'll be interesting.
He might jump on the back of a gator and just friggin' end his life. Cause if he hits multiple bad shots, I wouldn't be surprised if he just stuck his head in a gator's mouth.
Oh, Billy, Billy, Billy. Oh, Billy, Billy, Billy.
Did you guys see that Morikawa, he had a shot. I forget. It was on like 16 or whatever. Maybe it was 16 on Sunday. He was standing next to the pond, at Harvard Town, and
15.
Was it 15?
Yeah, and the gator was like right, and it was a little gator. It was a little gator. Well,
they zoomed in on a sign that was right next to him, and it said,
"Yeah, don't disturb the gators. Please do not feed or disturb gators." Yep.
10 feet away is this other alligator. I'm like, I don't know if I'm hitting that shot.
Yeah, when we were walking around on Saturday, it was on the eighth hole, and there's a pretty big pond. There's a pretty big like lagoon next to that hole, and there was like a 14 footer that just started walking against the lagoon, and both Scott Harrington and Brant Snedeker just looked back and like pointed, and I was just like, oh my god, that thing is a dinosaur. Like that is a dinosaur. That's not real. Like that thing is 400 years old. It has eaten multiple dogs. Like those things are scary, man. I don't like alligators that much, but there's plenty of them down here, unfortunately. But yes, so great course in TPC Louisiana. I'm really looking forward to it. We did do daily fantasy lineups this week, but because they are so confusing, I don't know if we're going to share them because
we're sharing them, baby. Hey, back to the Gators too. I mean, maybe that's why Bryson's not down here. Like he doesn't want to be embarrassed to call over too many rules officials as he's trying to chip near some Gators, you know, like he's around something green that's got its eyes just glared on you like 5 feet away. He's going to call over a rules marshal and be like, sir, I cannot hit this ball. Where can I put it so that it's in a friendly spot where I don't have this green monster up my rear end?
Ian Poulter just has his caddy hit him with drivers now. He had it in Louisiana. I think he's done at Hilton Head like once or twice. He just has this caddy hit the gator with a driver, and the you know, the gator just goes away, like just swims away. But if it was that monster on number 8, that he wouldn't have swam away.
Got to obey the signs. Don't disturb the gators.
Don't disturb the gators unless they're trying to eat you. Then you can disturb it by hitting it with your driver. Yeah. Oh man! All right, guys, are we doing? Are we going to do the daily fantasy? It's up to you guys. Cause I just know for a fact that this is not going to go well for any of us, but we can give it a go.
You want me to go quick?
We can go right through it. Yeah. Nice and quick and shoot them away.
All right. We lost Michael for a second, but he'll be back. Don't worry.
I think he can hear us.
Oh yeah. He's back. There he is. We're good.
Go ahead. I can't get up, zoom out of my phone and go check my DK lineup. I can't.
Daily fantasy lineup.
We can hear you.
The mic doesn't pick that up when I'm out of the Zoom app, huh?
No, it picks you up. You can take it out. And then worst comes to worst, we'll just say we can't hear you. But I think you'll be okay. Go ahead, right, Michael. Go ahead, Timbo.
First one, Hoagie. He played well last week. I'm definitely going to pick him. That's it. Bo Hostler kind of stinks. So sorry, Bo Hostler. Sure, you're a nice guy. But your teammates with Hoagie. Billy Horschel, I had to pick him. He's played well at this event the past couple
Billy,
weeks.
Billy.
God, this is absolutely, if it was on personality, he would not be on my team. Sorry, Billy, but he's playing well. And it must be tough to be on a team with him. I don't know. But we'll see. Scott Piercy, your boy, picked him.
Scott Piercy, let's go. Yep.
Got Biggie Doc Redman. Scott Piercy, great value pick, $6,900. Doc Redman and Sam Ryder. I got your boy Cameron Smith and Mark Leishman. What a powerhouse team from the island in the South Pacific. And the last one, Brant Snedeker and his team. And that's all I got.
Great.
Hit me with the next one.
That is fantastic. I can go ahead. But also just to do my little Mark Leishman. What is Mark Leishman doing on there? Silly Australians. Anyways,
Vegemite.
Big Leish. My name is Mark Leishman. I go by Big Leish.
That was okay, pretty bro. Good.
That whole time we were talking about New Zealand, I'm like, don't say Vegemite. And of course we bring it up Australian or New Zealand. And I'm like, son of a bitch, I have to say Vegemite. All right.
All right. I'll go. So I got Doug Gim to start it off. You know, he's not to start it off. He's the first in my lineup, but $8,100, him and Justin Suh are together. So Doug Gim's been playing really well this year. Like very, very well. Like him a lot. Second up. We're doing it. We got swinging Scotty Harrington in here at $6,600. Absolute steal. He's playing with Andrew Putnam. Putnam's pretty good. You know, I like Putnam as well. But $6,600, I couldn't not take him. It's an absolute steal of a bargain, and I love it. $8,400. Charlie Hoffman. We're sticking with him.
Oh, man.
He has not let us down yet.
How did I skip over him?
Tied for 18th here at the RBC Heritage. Been loving him. I love his game. He's got just as much swag as you thought when he's playing. He's a really, really nice guy. Wears the Greg Norman shirts. It's hilarious. I love it. Jason Kokrak, he's playing with Pat Perez, both PXG guys.
Yep.
Really interesting just to see how both of them play, because I feel like they have the exact same temperament and the exact same personality too. Just Kokrak's a little bit taller and a little bit chunkier, and then Pat Perez is a little bit shorter and a little chunky too. So love them both. Very excited to watch them play. Hopefully Pat Perez still has his lovely little goatee. Scotty Scheffler at $8,900. He's playing with Nick Watney. Not Nick Watney. He's playing with Watson. Oh, geez. I just messed that up. He's playing with Bubba Watson, not Nick Watney. I thought he was playing with Nick Watney. So he's playing with Bubba Watson. I'm not the biggest Bubba guy, so I could have picked Bubba or Scotty Scheffler. I like Scotty Scheffler. I can't stand his swing, but I like Scotty Scheffler. I think he's a really nice guy. And finally, rounding it up, Michael Thompson. This is a guy who played well at Harbortown, played well at the Masters, usually plays pretty well in this tournament as well. I like him. Going with him, $7,600, playing with Will Gordon. Will Gordon's kind of meh. You know, he's a good player, but like he doesn't always make the cut. He's still young, though. He's only 24. So let's hope we do pretty well this week, guys.
I'm surprised pick your boy Harold Varner. I thought you would pick him after
expensive.
I did see
that. I think he's playing with someone crazy too. He might be playing with Cameron Champ. Or no, Tony Finau is playing with Cameron Champ. But he was playing. He was expensive. Let's check it. Actually,
Timmy, unless I misheard, I'm surprised you didn't take your boy Louis Oosthuizen.
I know he hasn't come through for me in the past couple. I got to give him a break.
Hey, I am so on board with that in my daily fantasy. I have grudges and hold grudges, and it
Oh, 100%.
It takes a couple of weeks and you got to earn it. You got to earn that respect and trust back. I mean, I'm putting my hard earned money on the line here.
Kevin Kisner has now become that man for me. And I love Kevin Kisner, but not going on the daily fantasy team anytime soon.
You're not kicking him out of your life. You're just taking a break.
I'm out of daily fantasy. That's it.
Yeah.
All right. Michael. Yeah. I mean, I got Oosthuizen. I mean, he's South African. Charles Schwartzel, his partner, is South African. I think that that good little coming from south part of Africa together over
is that
over
where South Africa is in the south part of Africa?
over the good old Zurich from South Africa to Louisiana. I mean, they'll probably take who knows where they're coming from, but I mean, they'll be one in like PB and J, like lamb and tuna fish. If you've ever seen
God, Big, I hate that. Seen. I know what movie that's from too. Oh God, it's like a lamb and a tuna fish.
So
two
we
peas
got
in a pod, lamb and tuna fish.
I'm taking my guy, one of my guys, Xander Schauffele. He's paired with Patrick Cantlay. That's a dynamite pairing. I took some absolute.
Aren't they
squid.
Super expensive though?
Yeah, I took some absolute squids in order to make up for that pricey play. But yeah, Oosthuizen and Schauffele, Henrik Stenson, Swedish golfer, paired with Justin Rose, an Englishman. I think again, when you're coming from the same part of the world, I think that goes a long way in these team events. So I kind of
they played well at the Ryder Cup together too. They've been paired together at the Ryder Cup, and I think they've done pretty well.
Those two guys are kind of, I feel like those two guys would be friends. Like they kind of look like not an ounce of fat on them, just friggin' twigs and just kind of hard nosed, no bullshit, just straight to it. They're pretty serious guys, but great friggin' golfers. Martin Laird. I don't even know who he's paired with, but Martin won. He won recently, right? Within the last year. Maybe it
think
was
so. Not exactly maybe, sure.
I don't know, but again, he's older, been around the block. I don't know who he's paired with. That is on me, but good golfer. KJ Choi, another vet, another cheap vet. He's again just a shot in the dark. I love KJ Choi. He was a really good golfer. Don't know how he's hacking lately, but figured he would round out my lineup. Actually, here's the sixth and final player, a Thai golfer. His last name is, hold on a second.
Is it Jazz? Is it Jazz?
Kiradek Afabarnrat. Kiradek Afabarnrat from Thai. You see his name up there on certain weekends, just occasionally. Again, I'm just hoping, again, shot in the dark. He plays well and he has a good partner who maybe bails him out of a few situations. Who knows? But I'm going with the Thai golfer, Kiradek Afabarnrat. that's tough to really. I'm sure that name is pronounced a lot quicker and a lot more like together and just fluid. But I enunciate and I'm just staring it down and don't want to get it wrong. So I'm not pronouncing it like wrong. I don't think Afabarnrat. It's a tough last
staying
name.
Staying out of I'm this sorry. One.
It's a tough last name.
It is. It is a little bit of a tough last name. I will give that to you.
Not in terms of like owning it. Like my last name ends in rat, like barn rat. I mean, Afabarnrat. He's a good golfer. He seems like a happy-go-lucky guy. I'm never hold a last name against anybody, but just wouldn't want to hold that one.
I don't disagree with you there. Timmy, did you say you had both Billy Horschel and Scott Piercy in your lineup?
Oh yeah.
Is that because they won it together in 2018?
Billy Horschel, I knew he did. I didn't know Scott Piercy did.
So they won it as the team in 2018.
Oh, they were a team?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I know Billy Horschel did, but I didn't know Piercy was a part of that.
Horschel's won it twice. He won it back when it was a regular tournament, and then he's won it as a team tournament as well.
Oh, interesting.
Yep.
So but really, then I almost went against it because I was like, I don't know if he's a great teammate, but I guess if he did win with Piercy, then I guess he could be one. But
all I want to see is just Scott Piercy on TV, and you guys can see his awesome swing. Anyways,
what year was that they won?
2018.
So 2019, it was Rahm and Palmer. And Timmy, you said like teamwork makes the dream work. Rahm, I don't think of him as a great teammate either, but he's a hell of a golfer. So
that's
maybe,
true. That's
maybe
true.
That doesn't have any play. I don't know.
That's a good point.
I also think Ryan Palmer's just like the most go with the flow guy, true, like of all time. So true. Rahm could be like freaking out, and Ryan Palmer's just like, I'm just going to hit this shot. like I'm just going to go ahead and hit this.
Winning score was 26 under in 2019. That's
best ball for 2 days. So it's, you know what I mean? Like each guy plays their own. So you take the best score. So you could easily have a 59 on one of those days, like easily have 59 on the first and third rounds. But anyways, great picks, guys, as always. Awesome picks. Really happy about that. We are going to get into our bogeys for the boys segment. I love this segment. This is a great idea from Tim. But we are going to talk about how we played golf either this weekend or this week. And, you know, we're just going to give our perspectives on it. So I know I went first last time. So I was the only one who played last weekend. So, Michael, I know that you played this past weekend, and I would love to hear how you played.
Yeah, man. Booked a tee time for Wednesday at 6:15 a.m.
Sorry, during the week. Not the weekend, during the week.
Yeah, during the week. Got up early. I mean, I'm never punctual to tee times. You guys can vouch for me there.
Yep.
So I probably got there around 6:18, 6:19, which is pretty respectable if you're asking me. but no, we played some good golf for the first time in 2021. Played Chamawa Golf Course in North Attleboro. It's an 18-hole course. I played the front. I mean, maybe the front nine is 2,600 yards, 2,800 yards. We played the back tees. It's a shorter course, but it's fun as heck, and it's green. It's well kept. If you can get out there early morning, it's enjoyable. If you get stuck, it's an older crowd middle of the day on a weekend, so it's not the place to be sometimes.
Me and Mikey have been out there for like 5 hours for 18 at one point. It does get brutal.
It does. But shot a 39, a legit 39. If you guys know me, and I know you guys well too, you guys keep score to the core. I mean, We're not giving strokes. We're not taking strokes. I mean, maybe a breakfast ball if you're with your boys on the weekend, but I typically go in every round pretty serious. So a 39 for me is terrific. I mean, I'm elated coming out of there, finishing number nine with a bogey, duffed a chip, missed a putt, made bogey on a par three, and just not a good bogey. But do have a story for you. First birdie of 2021. Hilarious stuff. I'm on the fifth. One, two, three.
Par four coming up the hill.
Five. Six then. Sixth is the hole before the road.
Next to the woods.
Right. So yep. Tim, get this, and Brendan. We play the blues. I'm hitting driver. I'm trying to land it on the green. It's a short course. It's trouble, right? And trees and a huge hill left. Not the smart play, but again, I was hitting driver great. So I pulled it out. I kid you not. So again, we're on the sixth. It's a fairway that's lower than the fairway on the fifth, which is the hole that it abides by or is adjacent to. Freaking duck hook my drive into the trees left. I'm hammering the four call. It goes square off the cart of the gentleman trailing us. that ball goes directly to my fairway. Thank you very much. Direct. That ball sits. I couldn't have been anywhere more square in the middle of the fairway.
Oh, no, that's what we say.
Lucky is so much better than good sometimes. And that right there is proof that lucky is better than good. God, that's unbelievable, so, Michael. I love
isn't
that.
It, man? So then I had like a 120, 115, 120 yard shot in, and it was the first full swing that I had of the day, like with a ball off the actual grass. Like I was teeing it up with my driver and like everything else around there. It's a pretty short course if you're hitting driver well. So
very short course if you're hitting driver well. You're basically on the green on some of those.
Yeah, middle of the fairway. And was like, man, this is my first full swing with this wedge this year on a hole that I'm scoring. So I hit it great, and it went probably 8 feet, 10 feet below the hole, and made the putt. So I walk out of there with a birdie when I freaking almost drilled some individual, but I got so lucky.
And almost killed a guy.
Almost killed a guy.
Maybe that's some good little fortune of what's 2021 golf season to be.
What's the saying? And that's why the saying, the old saying, that's why there's a box for a number and not a line for an explanation.
I love explaining it though. That's a good one. That's the fun.
I like it.
Yeah.
Oh
so
man.
I made a legit birdie on the 8, Timmy. So I drove it over. What?
You, that birdie is legit. It doesn't matter if it hits off the cart path or not. Hell, Bryson DeChambeau gets relief when there's a sprinkler within 50 yards of him. But I'm still mad about that. That Lee Westwood didn't get relief out of a divot, but Bryson DeChambeau gets relief because there's a sprinkler 6 feet in front of him. Not going into that again. But anyways. That's a legit birdie.
I duck it, hook it left there. I'm thinking every way to get par, like, but I'm never gonna make birdie, you know? Oh my gosh, got so lucky. But yes, legit bird, and then legit bird on 8, drove it over the green just by like 2 yards, and chipped down and made a putt. So hell yeah, we're at it. You guys take it from here. It's exciting stuff, man. Golf season. We here.
2 circles on the card. Good stuff, Michael.
5 bogeys. Not great, but hey.
Got 2 birds.
No doubles. That's all that matters.
Wish I could say that. Timbo, how did you play it all this weekend?
I did. I played 18 and a few, 18 with my brother and these 2 random guys, Walter and Glenn. Great guys. All 4 par threes, which par threes are difficult, you know, and some of them can be difficult. Notice lots of pars, had a great front 9, difficult back 9. Then went to Lincoln Country Club, played some Twilight, just messing around. And then I played tonight at East Greenwich Country Club, kind of an up and coming. It's been being, you know, they're really doing a lot of work on it. Used to be not nice, you know, but great value. Played with a friend I hadn't seen in 10 years today. And shout out Brandon. Great to see you today. We did not keep score. He hadn't played golf in a long time, and just no pressure. It was just one of those, like it was catching up, one of those things. So that's a lot of it is what golf is all about too. Just getting out there, enjoying it. And it was a good day. So Brendan, tell us how it is down there in South Carolina.
No, it was good. I mean, I played today. I actually had today off, which was really nice. Shout out Patriots Day. Sorry, Patriots Day. Red Sox able to get in that 11 o'clock game, which was great, but I was able to play today. Shot 89. I would be more happy with that if I didn't have a 41 on the front with 1 mulligan. I did have 1 mulligan because it was my 3rd shot into a par 5 and I was hitting the ball and I was about, and you know, it was in my backswing and a kid on a bike yelled at me So like I pulled it into the water. I was like, really, dude? Like, come on, man. I've had that happen a couple times. I have had it happen a couple times down here. And I'm just like, every time I'm just like, Jesus, come on, guys. Like it happened to me. It was driving by on a car. He was like, don't mess up. And of course I messed up. Like, you know, that's going to happen. But so I had a 41 on the front and we were in a rhythm. Like I was playing with my mom and we were done. And I think it was a little bit over an hour and a half. Like we were cruising. I was in a great rhythm and we hit the back nine and it just slowed down to a standstill. And like all the rhythm was lost. The doubles came in. I doubled both of the par threes on the back nine. There was one. Yeah. So it was just a rough day. I ended up shooting a 48 on the back. So an 89 overall, but like, I wouldn't have been mad at that going in. Cause I would have been like, okay, like 44 on the front, 45 on the back or 40, you know, 43 on the back, 46 on the front, something like that. I was just playing so well on the front. Like I was through seven holes and I was one over. I was one over through six holes. Then I had a bogey. Then I went back to back bogeys and then I parred the ninth. So like I went back to back to back bogeys, which ain't bad. Like I shot, you know, I was fine with it. Parred both the par fives on the front. I think I bogeyed both the par fives on the back. No, I parred one of the par fives on the back and I bogeyed the other par five. Doubled the other par five because I went to the water. Anyways, rough day. Not happy about the back nine, but we'll get back out there. So it's all
89 with a 41. I mean, you're hanging your head on that 41. That was a good, that's a good nine. And anytime you can shoot it, 41 for nine holes, just you know, there's good golf in that being of yours.
Oh man, that was the one part too. I was just like, at one point we were cruising and I was just like, hey, like, here we go. We're gonna play well today. It's like one of those songs, like we're gonna have a good day. Na 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 na. And I'm just sitting there, and then it turned so bad so quick.
That's golf.
Oh man, it was golf. But
wait, shout out to Mrs. Monroe if you're listening. Shout out to her.
She's listening right now.
How is she playing?
She shot 97. She was great. She played very well. She played great. I was really happy for her. But yes, shout out to my mother. Great job, Nancy Lee.
Hey, I got another quick little story. Do we have time?
We got time. Go for it, Michael.
Tidbit. Here we go.
Little tidbit. Chipping in the backyard for the first time ever. Cause we just moved into a new spot in Rhode Island and there's a nice little outside backyard. So my brother got a net for Christmas, golf net, like one that you chip into. So we're sticking it out middle of the yard. My sister got me a bigger net that you hit into, like actually drive into, that I haven't set up yet. But she also got me like a pad and a mat with three different layers of turf, like green or fairway, rough, like first cut rough. So it's got three different tiers to it, which is cool. So I take that down, throw that on the backyard grass. Didn't want to tear up the new grass, you know. That was only happening at the parents' house, but not my lawn. So we start chipping into my this golf net, and then my dad comes over. We're chatting, me, my fiance, and my dad, and all of a sudden we just see like a golf ball come flying in, trying to like around the vicinity of the net. Like, all right, what's going on here? Like, I mean, I know I live off of Agawam, but no one made an errant tee shot. No one made a tee shot 400 yards left. Like, no one's making it this. So I peek my head around the corner of my little garage, and my neighbor two houses down is friggin' trying to chip into the my net that I
wow.
have in the middle of my yard. Right? So funny.
Let's go.
We've had one conversation. He's a member at Crestwood. So we had one prior conversation, and then all of a sudden he sees that net. He starts chipping. He's like, dude, I could be out here all day. Like, I could be out here all day. Like, I just played 36 holes earlier today. Like, Jesus. You don't even, he's like, keep all the balls. Like, we have a bunch of balls. Like, I'm like, dude, you're just hitting like literally probably 50 balls, maybe give or take. But he spent a good, he was trying to make it in the net. He couldn't. He was probably, I don't know, 30, 40 yards away. And it's kind of a small net. But he's like, yeah, we got, I married into golf. Like I'm just, my wife's dad is Dana Quigley.
Wow.
So, yeah. And I'm like, Dana Quigley? Like, I know that name. Like, I'm not a brilliant man when it comes to golf, Brendan. You're head over heels more knowledgeable about the game and the history. But I'm like, I know that name. And then kind of felt cool, like, hey, I'm neighbors with this dude's wife's dad, Dana Quigley, whatever. But then he comes back like 15, 20 minutes later and just hands over a sleeve of golf balls signed by the Dana Quigley. I mean,
no kidding.
Just dropped off
crazy
three golf balls. And yeah, so that's
awesome.
That's pretty cool. You know, pretty cool golf story. And who knows where that'll go. Just stay in their good graces.
I'm jealous. That's unbelievable. Yeah, man. Dana Quigley was a big guy on the Champions Tour. Like, yeah, he never really did anything on the PGA, but like, that's not surprising.
Yeah. He said like tied in 41 in 79 and 80. So back-to-back years, he was tied in 41 in like the PGA and the British or two majors.
Yeah. He finished tied for 41st at the US Open in 79 and tied for 41st at the PGA in 1980s. Yeah, never played in the Masters, never played in an Open.
But just big because it's a Rhode Island family. Like,
yeah. Right. He says he's from Linfield, Mass, but he went to URI and mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess his daughter's now my friggin' neighbor.
Welcome to Rhode Island, Mikey. Mike.
Yeah. Everyone knows everybody. Everybody knows everybody.
Mikey Tidbits right there. Nice work.
Happy. That might be a new, we might have to do that, a new segment, Mikey's Tidbits. That'd be unbelievable.
Keep me on my toes.
Oh, man, that'd be great. What tidbit are you talking about this week? I found out there used to be a volcano. Where? Everywhere. Have you guys heard of the Yellowstone super volcano?
What about if we just have
all these amazing tidbits that could come up?
I'm not a very.
Did you guys
smart...
know that the Bering Strait used to be a landmass? Like, oh my god, Mikey, you need. Yep, we're doing Mikey's tidbits. Mike, you have to come to the show.
Brendan, we should have a segment. Brendan's tidbits. These are great. I mean, he's got them without even having to look anything up.
I know, but Mikey's tidbits sounds so much better than Brendan's tidbits.
Well, then if it's Brendan's tidbits, then we got to have Mikey try to pronounce a Korean last name once a show.
Or a Thai last name.
We'll learn a new Korean golfer Thai. Hey, I had Thai food last night. Pad Thai. I mean, you can't tell me.
Oh my God. We're just so off the rails. What is going on?
You can't tell me that might have had something to do with my pick there. The fact that I love Pad Thai and had that last night and saw that he was a Thai golfer. Because I looked him up before I selected him. Because I've seen him play, and I'm not even going to go with his last name. Kiradek. Well, follow his scorecard this week. Hopefully, weekend. Kiradek.
Mullen on Mikey. We don't have to do Brendan's tidbits, but Mikey did. I had Pad Thai last night. That's why I chose Kiradek Amphrabat for this week. This is oh god, I love it. I love it so much.
This podcast goes off the rails
real quick.
It's always long days coming into this podcast. Gotta love it.
We do have time for a golf poll though. My favorite segment.
Hell yeah.
Listeners' favorite segments. If you haven't listened, this is time where Tim the Chooch asks us a golf poll, me and Mikey answer. Tim then gives us the correct answer, if there is one. But most of the time, you know, kind of up for grabs. But this week, I feel like we're going to get a good one. So, Timbo, take it away.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Chooches and Chuchitas. Let's get going on this golfer poll. All right. So, if you could play golf with any non-professional golfer, celebrity, athlete, or political figure, celebrity athlete or political figure, who would that person be and why?
That's a good one. That's a really, really good one.
It's a thinker.
Oh, man.
There's the easy ones that come right off like that. And then there's ones that like you got to dig deeper and be like, this is why, this is.
So you can definitely do this into like segments, right? So like there's the good golfers. There's the really good golfers. So like the Steph Currys, the Tony Romos, the guys who are like very, very Larry Fitzgeralds, like the guys who are very good golfers that like would be, it'd be fun to play with, but it'd be challenging. And you got like the, you know, the old school, like, you know, oh, Bill Murray would be hilarious to play with, like just because he's Caddyshack, and like Bob Barker back in the day. And you got like some of the lovely females, like Catherine Newton out there, who's a famous actress who loves to golf. But then you also got like just random people who like maybe they never golfed before, and like
that's what I want. I want you to assume that everyone plays golf, or they would play golf with you, whether they've never played golf before.
Look at him trying to buy time right now. I mean, he's circling the wagons right now. He's buying time. Tim, I never come into this segment thinking that it's going to be easy. So this is always a grind. Nobody popped into my head, and I'm thinking like, yeah, him. I'm taking my sweet time here. I have no freaking clue. I'm looking around. I have a friggin' Space Jam poster to my right. I was going to ask you if we could be with animated characters like Looney Tunes, like Bugs Bunny. I mean, obviously it's got to be a real person, but that popped
it does. we're gonna stop it, and we're not allowing Looney Tunes.
Michael Jordan. Oh. I mean, Michael Jordan's not a professional golfer. That's.
Oh, well, I really want to say
I'm done Catherine buying Newton. Time, though. I'm done buying time.
All right. You got one?
Nope.
Or you want me to go?
You got it.
Gotcha. Well, I really want to say Catherine Newton because she's adorable and a cutie and very good at golf. I'm probably going to have to go with Steph Curry because like being that good at basketball and then that good at golf too. Like he barely missed a cut at a Korn Ferry Tour event. Like think about that. Like he missed the cut, but like he's not a professional golfer, and he just barely missed the cut at like a very serious, you know, not a PGA Tour event, but a very serious lower level event. Pretty cool, if you ask me. I'd go Steph Curry.
Like it. I like that one. He's current. He is.
Curry stinks. Come on, I'm a Boston Celtics guy. You can't be thrown. You don't even watch the basketball, and you just want to pick Curry because he's a good golfer. Like we can choose chooches and chuchitas, like Tim said, and they don't have to be good golfers. I'd rather be on the golf course longer because we suck with people that we enjoy hanging out with rather than picking Steph Curry because I don't like Steph. I loved Steph Curry at Davidson. Let's just get that straight. Now he's with the Warriors. I can't root for him. I mean, I'm a Celtics guy, and he's done some things that we're getting off topic. We're getting way off topic. Let me narrow it down here. I mean, like Jordan, Barkley, like Shaq, like people that make you laugh, like Adam Sandler. I mean, imagine him on the golf course.
Oh, I did consider Adam. Yes.
I don't think Adam Sandler would be good though, because he wouldn't do like, you would be like, do Happy Gilmore. And he'd be like, no, dude, like, shut up. I'm not doing
it. No, I think he'd be just fine. You know, I think he's a comedian. He knows how to spend time and make people laugh. And I'm sure he would, you got him having a few booze and got him going. I would be putting money on him winding up, taking a 10 step winding, running head start to spank a golf ball into its horizons. But no, I mean, I'm having trouble here. I'm just dancing. I'm circling the wagons. I'm buying time.
Didn't I just get yelled at for dancing and circling the wagons and buying time?
I didn't want your answer to be better than mine. I didn't want your answer to be better. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, Michael Jordan, I guess Larry Bird popped to mind. Larry would be a legend on the golf course. Like just people that love
Larry
the game.
Larry plays a lot of golf. Like Michael Jordan at least play, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if Larry plays a lot.
I think Larry plays a little bit. Come on. I think Larry gets around the golf course. Okay. But just someone who places some wagers, has a good time.
Don't do Michael Jordan. You're going to be betting 10K a hole.
No. I would work a lot prior to and save to make sure. No, he's a good golfer though. He's
a great golfer.
Man, is there like a to be continued button that I can press for next week? Like, can we just cut this short and I don't even have to answer it? I don't freaking know.
All right, Mikey, answer off the top of your head. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
No.
Nah, I just thought of Donald Trump.
No.
Imagine throwing Trump in the ring and just being. I'm so not.
I did think of that because then you could
for Donald Trump, but
you could actually count his strokes. You know how they always say he never gives like legit scores. Like he'll say that's good from like 10 feet, and or like he'll be like, yeah, oh, I'm just gonna play another one. And he says he's like a 3 handicap or whatever. I don't believe it.
We should have taken out political figures.
He said politically.
Not touch that third rail. So, Mike, give a real answer besides Donald Trump, please. Tim, can you give an answer while Mike still thinks?
Who do you got?
All right. So, my mind went, it's funny that you guys went to basketball because my mind first went to baseball. I went for like thinking about Pedro Martinez and I was thinking about like, you know, could we do dead ones like Ted Williams or Jason Veritek or things like that. And then I went to political figures and I'm like, well, if I play with Condoleezza Rice, then I could play at Augusta National because she's a member. And then I was thinking about, oh, we got to go with sports announcers. Like if I want to play with, I mean, think of all the people that have done amazing sports calls, like Al Michaels, like he's done the Miracle on Ice. He's done like, you know, intercepted at the goal line, the Patriots or Jim Nantz. I mean, think about all the things he's done, Joe Buck. And then I was like Joe Castiglione. He's been the Red Sox radio announcer forever. I'm getting out of breath.
Can I interject? I'll let you catch your breath.
Go ahead.
This could be like, you could ask another question at a later date, like you round out your foursome. Like it's you and three others. Like,
ooh,
that's a good one. That's a good one.
Cause you could select three random people, you know, or you could select like I was thinking like, Chuck Nantz, Samuel L. Like that, imagine that, like, cause I watch a lot of basketball and those guys are all on TV together and they do commercials, Capital One, like those guys are a riot. Like imagine just getting on the golf course with just guys that, but no, I got to come to a decision. Tim, keep going.
All right. And then I was like, well, I'm going to go with this answer. And this is, you guys are going to roll your eyes, but I am going to go with Pope Francis. Because finally, I'll be on the side of the golf gods. And that's what I'm going to go with. That's it.
I don't know if that's true.
I'll tell you what, I'll never be closer to the on the side of the golf course.
You're trying. You're trying.
Like I don't like it.
I told you.
All right, Michael, before we end the podcast, do you have an answer?
I mean, I've named a lot of names. I still don't have an answer. I'm gonna go sentimental here and get all sappy and emotional. And I'm gonna, if I could choose to play golf with one person, like where it would be enjoyable and like he could do it, my grandpa. I would 100% choose my grandpa. Aww. I know it's not a celebrity. I know it's not. But just having a round of golf with, you asked it, does it could be anybody, Tim, right?
Well, I was saying that, like, it's not like if you could pick anyone to, well, I love the answer because my mind went there too. Like, how can you not, like,
I'm having trouble. So I went where it's
and that's a in a different spot because you've never played golf with him. So that's it's like a fantasy pick because you've never played with him, and you might not, you know, you never know.
Fantasy we'll pick.
Allow it. We'll allow it just so Mike's brain doesn't go into overload.
No, I'll go Larry Bird. I'll go Larry Bird.
Hole in one.
I did like the grandpa pick though. So, but yeah. we'll take Larry Bird. I like it. I like it a lot.
Grandpa Burns. That'd be classic. He would definitely need a cart.
Close to that side. That'd be cool.
Well, guys, this is probably my favorite one just because we went completely off the rails at some times and completely on the rails at other times. So it was great.
We're pushing 120 minutes too, which is great.
We are. Oh. We really are. I'm probably going to have to buy more. We might have to upgrade $3 per the additional hour from Buzzsprout. So get ready to take my money, Buzzsprout. But hey, guys, as always, it was a pleasure. You can follow us, Duffin Up, on Facebook. Follow us at Duffin Up Blog on Twitter and Instagram. Our TikTok has been growing slowly but steadily. Doing great. Going to keep going up. Post it here. We'll post it there too. So yeah, check us all out. Jimmy, where can they find you?
At Jude Golf on TikTok.
No, perfect. Michael, where can they find? Cool. Can they find you on MySpace?
I never had a MySpace. No shot. No How about shot.
LinkedIn. Can we go to LinkedIn for you?
Can we get a LinkedIn profile?
Sure. Sure. I sell.
No, please. Oh God.
Shit. I mean, I can't even get a personal plug in to help me put food on the table.
Michael, you can get a personal plug. Go ahead.
No, I'll save it.
You can follow Mike all over the socials, though.
You can catch me strolling the fairways because I'll be looking for tee times this weekend. Saturday, I think I'm off. So, Tim, I know you're unavailable, but Brendan, if you want to climb, I don't know how many miles north to come tee it up, let me know.
750 miles. But yeah, I mean, I'll be back up. We'll be back up in May, doing some great stuff up there. Can't wait for it. So I'm excited.
Get on, look at Brendan trying to end the podcast. Get on out there and buy your suits, boys, because we got a wedding in late June, and people are saying those suits take a couple weeks to ship. So you don't want to be standing up at my wedding naked.
We should just end it on that.
We should.
Oh man. Later, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.